Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how much do you really know about vitamin D? Do you get lots of sunshine? Do you worry about how much sunshine you're getting? Are you consuming vitamin D, taking gels of it? How much? How much is right? What do we know? Well, let's find out. So I've asked an expert on vitamin D to be on the show. He has been studying vitamin D for many years. He's been writing scientific papers on it, and he's ready to talk. So I've asked him to be a guest, and he also is somebody I know very well since he's my brother Alan, Alan Roth. So let's see what he has to say. Hello, Alan.
Yes, here.
You're here. Good. Welcome to Energy Stew.
Okay, I'm glad to be here.
Good. What do we need to know about vitamin D? Don't we know enough? Aren't people saying, well, it's good for you. You need lots of sunshine. And take a little extra. What does it really do for us?
Well, first of all, as most people know, we get vitamin D from the sun. And it's the UVB rays from the sun that our body converts to vitamin D. And we know that if we don't get enough, we can have problems with bone health, and rickets is one of those outcomes from deficient vitamin D. Also, osteoporosis, osteopenia. So doctors are very conscious of, many doctors are very conscious of the need for enough vitamin D to have good bone health. And many of you listening have probably had your vitamin D levels checked, and your doctors showing their concern that you have enough for that. And the amount that we're supposed to be getting daily, according to the Institute of Medicine, they had a panel to do this review, and they came out with 600 international units per day for people 1 year old to 70 years old. And that's for bone health. Now, they were very specific that it's for that, even though there's a lot of evidence that vitamin D helps us in many other ways. But they said that the research that's been done on vitamin D has had mixed results outside of bone health. And because of those mixed results, they preferred to ignore it. But even at 600 units per day, there are vitamin D experts who say that's far too little to have enough in your system to really help you in even in bone health. And the government, well, the IOM, I should say, says 600 units a day should produce about 20 nanograms per milliliter in your blood, 20 nanograms. And the experts say, well, that's deficient. What you need is 30 nanograms at least, and there are many who say 40 to 50 nanograms. But that gets into vitamin D working for other parts of your health, and we do have a lot of information. As I said, it's mixed, and it is. We know that, for example, people with higher levels of vitamin D in their bodies are healthier in many ways. Many studies have been done. These are epidemiological studies, and they even show that people who live in areas where there's more sun have more vitamin D in their bodies and are healthier. And this gets into many really serious conditions that could result from vitamin D deficiency that you don't have, or it's rarer in areas where there's more sun. An example of how powerful this is that if you spend the first 10 years of your life below the 37th parallel, and that's south of Virginia, let's say, across the U.S., you're getting more sun down there. And epidemiological studies have shown that you have a 50% lower risk of MS than if you lived above the 37th parallel. And that's for the rest of your life. So you set yourself up for, in the future, by how well you're taking in vitamin D in your youth. So that's just one aspect of how the sun is helping you for health. But as I mentioned, the Institute of Medicine, they didn't want to look at all these other results, saying that they were mixed. And they were, and one of the things they found was the random randomized controlled trials had mixed results. These are the most important to doctors because they show cause and effect. You give a placebo to a group and then you give a certain amount of whatever it is you're studying to another group, so you can see how they both progress over time, and you have given the medication to this other group, therefore you're causing the effect with that study. And what's happened is too many studies where they've given the subjects in the study vitamin D, it didn't work. And this was for many different diseases. And what was happening was the doctors were giving very large doses. They're called bolus doses. For example, they give each individual in a group 300,000 units of vitamin D, and that would carry them for 2 months. That was so much vitamin D, it would be there for that length of time, and they could even measure their blood serum levels to see whether or not the vitamin D was there. And it was there, but they weren't getting the benefits of vitamin D. Something was wrong. Vitamin D wasn't working, and they didn't know why. So some researchers saw that this was going on, and where the bolus doses were being given, those results showed failure. So that was known among some researchers. But others, they just kept doing the same thing over and over because it was easy. They could control how much they were giving their patients with one big dose every 2 months. And that's an example. They could give 100,000 for several weeks. But the idea was to have a large dose that would carry you over time. And without knowing why this effect was happening with those researchers who saw the problem, they couldn't explain it. And so, therefore, it just continued until recently when a breakthrough was made. There's a Dr. Bruce Hollis, who's a well-known vitamin D expert, and he found that the substance that we're measuring in the blood to represent the vitamin D is called 25-OHD. So when you have a blood test done, your doctor says you have 30 nanograms per milliliter, it's 25-OHD. And it turns out that that 25-OHD, Dr. Hollis found, that it has a strong, it's called an affinity, a binds very tightly with vitamin D proteins that are in the blood that are carrying the vitamin D around. And when it was supposed to be breaking down in cells, it wasn't because it bound too tightly. Now, researchers, when they look at vitamin D levels, they're looking at the 25-OHD because it's also easy to measure. They're not measuring the amount of the vitamin D itself that has not yet been converted to 25-OHD. That conversion takes place in the liver. So what Dr. Hollis found is that all the rest of the cells in your body, other than bone cells, were not getting the vitamin D from the 25-OHD. And it turns out that the 25-OHD has a 2 to 3 week life, a half-life. So in 2 to 3 weeks, it'll break down enough that there's 50% left after that. So you can go for several months and still have quite a bit in your blood of the 25-OHD, but they found that vitamin D that you're getting, which is circulating in your body, has a 24-hour half-life. So it goes quickly, but that's the active vitamin D that the rest of your cells, other than bone cells, are using. And you have vitamin D receptors in every cell in your body. And there's a reason those vitamin D receptors are there. They're used. The vitamin D is needed, and yet we're not getting enough to get to all of those unless we're out in the sun a lot at the right time, or we're taking a lot in supplement form. If you take, let's say, from milk, you get your vitamin D. There's just not enough there. You look at the salmon and some oily fish that have some vitamin D, it's really very little. So capsules or from the sun are the best means of getting vitamin D. And if you're not getting enough, you need a lot, apparently, from some work that's been done recently, that you're deficient for many of the different parts of your body that need that vitamin D.
Well, let me make a brief synopsis of this, and that's that this 25-OHD is produced by the liver, and it has a long half-life of 3 weeks, and it really is good for bone health. There's been a lot of good research that shows that 25-OHD works for the bones, but then they didn't find results for anything else when they were measuring, let's say, 3 weeks of this bolus dose. So in other words, they gave, let's say, 200,000 or 300,000 units to somebody at one time to make it easy on themselves, as you were saying, so that they don't expect these people who are being tested in the research to have to take vitamin D every day because they don't trust that they might or might not. So if they give them a large dose and they see that it lasts for 3 weeks in the form of 25-OHD, then they know that they can trust that this D is in their body, and then they can measure what it does. And they found that it's only limited to bones, and it wasn't doing much else. So then, as you said, this Dr. Hollis found that it's not the 25-OHD that is produced by the liver from vitamin D. It's actually the vitamin D itself that ends up helping all the cells in the body for all kinds of other reasons, and yet it only has a half-life of 24 hours versus the 25-OHD with 3 weeks. So therefore, the research was trying to identify results with vitamin D after the vitamin D had pretty much expired in the body and they weren't replacing it. So they were assuming that it doesn't do these other things that these receptor cells in the cells are waiting for and can show that there's great results when it's constantly fed with vitamin D. Now, the thing is that people might be thinking that, well, there must be receptor sites for all different vitamins. So what's so special about vitamin D? And can you answer that?
My belief is that it started eons ago when our bodies were evolving. And this is in tropical environments. That's where we started out. And we were getting the UVB rays from the sun all the time. Every day, you could count on that. If it was cloudy, you wouldn't get as much. But our bodies were bathed in vitamin D. And then, as we evolved, it took advantage of the vitamin D. And it created processes in our bodies that use the vitamin D to work more effectively, or even just to work effectively. And suddenly, we migrated north, or we went outside of this tropical environment where we weren't getting vitamin D all the time, and we ended up encountering illnesses, diseases that we hadn't before because we weren't getting the vitamin D to do the job. And one of the jobs it does, it reinforces our immune system. It really jacks it up, and without that, we are subject to so many diseases. And that's why we see that diseases are less prevalent in areas where there's a lot of sun. So it seems to work in the way that I believe it does, where all those vitamin D receptors were made to be there because the sun was always there. And when it's not, those receptors don't get enough vitamin D, and we suffer accordingly. So we've seen that it works so well with so many diseases, with cancers and heart disease, and even the experts, like the vitamin D experts who are cardiologists and oncologists, they are very strong in their belief that vitamin D is essential. And there's one cardiologist I know, he says cardiovascular disease is due to vitamin D deficiency. And I've heard an oncologist expert in vitamin D say that cancer is due to vitamin D deficiency. What is the cause of cancer? Vitamin D deficiency. What is the cause of heart disease? Vitamin D deficiency. Well, how much is enough? That's where we start seeing some of the positive results. And the good thing about knowing that those trials that were done with bolus dosing didn't work because it needed daily dosing, we can eliminate them, take them out of the record, and look at all the positive results that we've had. Now, I can't say everyone was positive other than those bolus doses, and many weren't because they used too little vitamin D in the studies. And my thinking is that the pharmaceutical industry is influencing that because they have so much to lose from this. People took more vitamin D, they lose billions of dollars in business. And so they're countering it, I think, by financing studies where the active group, not the placebo group, but the one that's getting the vitamin D is getting only, for example, and I've seen a number of studies like this, 400 units a day. And that's even below what the Institute of Medicine says you need. That's 600 units. So 400 units is nothing. And those trials were expected to fail. I think the pharmaceutical industry paid for them to fail, to show that vitamin D isn't working. And then they get results, and they say, vitamin D doesn't work on this or that. And they don't say, but we only use 400 units per day. So we're stuck with that still among the trials. So doctors can still say, well, there's still some mixed results. But at least we've eliminated a slew of projects of the ones that were using bolus dosing.
I want to come back to what you said about heart disease. And I'm remembering that there were studies that showed, or chemistry that shows, that cholesterol is aided with vitamin D. It actually changes the chemical composition of cholesterol to be highly healing for us when it has this different composition using vitamin D. And therefore, when we have vitamin D, therefore the cholesterol is cleansing our arteries rather than harming them.
We know there are so many ways in which vitamin D is helping us, and it's so powerful, but the evidence isn't clear. So we're losing the strength that we could otherwise have. But there's something new that's happened, and this is a real breakthrough, and it's happening in a hospital. It's Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta. And they started off doing a baseline study where they looked at the vitamin D levels of their patients coming in for their trauma care center. And the trauma center, it's a big one. It's a level one center in Atlanta, and it's the largest in Georgia. And they were getting patients that were almost all deficient in vitamin D. It was 98.8%. Now, there's some thinking that when you have a traumatic experience, been injured, and you're on your way to the hospital, your body is taking that vitamin D that you have and using it to the point where you're deficient when you get to the hospital. But that still hasn't been really proven to happen. It's thought to happen. But what they found is that the more deficient these patients were, the higher the cost was to care for them. And this was very, very clear. The more deficient you were, the more you needed antibiotics, the more you needed ventilators, the more you needed pain medication, the more you needed more care and more expensive care. And so they felt, well, if this is the case, why don't we do something about it? And they decided to give all of their patients coming into their trauma center 50,000 units of vitamin D. And then they kept giving them vitamin D over time because they weren't there just for one day. Many of them would have to recover in the hospital. So it was a constant flow of vitamin D. In fact, the chief surgeon there in their critical care told me that, he said, vitamin D here flows like water. What they found is that their patients didn't have those difficulties that they saw earlier from vitamin D deficiency, that they didn't need the ventilators, that the need for antibiotics was much less, the need for pain medication was much less. They're saving a lot of money, but better, even more important, their patients are getting in and out of there more easily and more quickly.
Didn't it also lower the death rate?
The mortality rate went way down, as close to zero. They were amazed at how many people they could save because of the vitamin D. They had one patient come in with 14 bullet holes. They said, well, he's not going to survive, and he did. The woman who came in with a branch right through her stomach, through her back, it was 5 inches in diameter, and I saw pictures of it. It was huge. They said, well, she's not going to survive, and she did. And they're always amazed. Now they've been doing it for some time, and they're still looking at it like, wow, that's special.
So, I would think that all the hospitals in our country should hear about this and immediately institute it.
Well, they may not, because they may say, well, we want to see the placebo-controlled trials, the randomized controlled trials.
In the meantime, all these people are dying.
Well, this guy, chief of surgery, Dr. Matthews, he says that would be like murder to do that, to give patients a placebo instead of the vitamin D when they know how good that vitamin D is. Says, we can't do that. But there are other hospitals where they have that opportunity because they're not convinced. They need to be convinced that it really does work. And so there was a study that was done at Emory University in their medical center, and it was a randomized placebo-controlled trial. And they took a third of the patients, and they gave them a placebo. Another third got 50,000 units a day for 5 days, and a third got 100,000 units a day for 5 days. And they were looking at the length of stay, and they found that the placebo group, the average length, and these were people who, they weren't like the Dr. Matthews group, where they had surgery, they came in with great injuries. These are people who had infection, severe sepsis or septic shock. The majority of these patients were in that condition. And they had also quite a lot of cardiovascular disease and neurologic disease. So the stay is long, and the placebo group stay was 36 days average. The group that got 50,000 units a day for 10 days had a 25-day stay, and the group that got 100,000 units a day for 5 days had an 18-day average stay. So they cut the length of stay in half. Very, very dramatic results and very statistically valid. They want to do other studies with more patients to have even
is the Mayo Clinic saying about vitamin D?
Well, there's another problem that doctors cite with vitamin D, where they say too much vitamin D is bad for you. And we could see from the hospitals here that they were actually doing very large doses, and they weren't seeing any adverse effects. But it has a long history problem with vitamin D and calcium. And there, it was way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where first they found that solariums were great because they found that it was the vitamin D from the sun. And then they started making vitamin D in a way that was very concentrated, very inexpensive. And they started putting it in foods. And food processors, companies said, well, we're going to help out. So they're putting in so many different foods that people end up taking 500,000 units a day, a million units a day. And they had a reaction of too much calcium in their system. It was hypercalcemia, it's called. So too much vitamin D is known to cause hypercalcemia, but how much is too much? And if you look way back, there was an enormous amount. But how about more recently? Well, doctors here these days are afraid to give more than 600 units a day, or even the IOM, the Institute of Medicine, says don't go above 4,000 units a day. We have concerns above that level. But they also say that 10,000 units a day has no adverse effect.
Now let's come back to the Mayo Clinic. Didn't they do some research on this?
The Mayo Clinic, because we want to see what the effect is of less of vitamin D than way back historically. But what people are getting now into their systems, and if they're getting 10,000 units a day, there are people taking 20,000 units a day. I'm one of them, and I've had great results. But they were looking at whether there was any hypercalcemia, because that's the only adverse effect that has been seen, really, with vitamin D within the public use of it. So they did a study of 20,308 blood samples. This is over a 10-year period, and they looked at how much hypercalcemia there was, and they found there was one case. So one out of 20,308, and that one case happened to be a woman who was taking 50,000 units a day for longer than 3 months, and she was taking 3,000 milligrams a day of calcium.
So they understood that it's really a rare case, exceedingly rare. And so this is the Mayo Clinic, and it's nice to have them on the side of vitamin D. And we only have a couple of minutes left, and it seems to me that the idea of international units is something that's foreign to people. And also, we're used to hearing about milligrams and micrograms. Now, when people hear of taking anything that's 10,000, they go, oh my God, 10,000, that's huge. But they don't know what it's in relationship to. They don't know how to judge that objectively.
Well, it turns out that the international units came around because there's so little vitamin D that's in these capsules that they gave it a big number to look like it was something serious, when really a 10,000 unit capsule has just a small number of micrograms. It's a very small amount. And you can take these 10,000 unit gel caps, and they're about the size of a pea. Very easy to take, and they're very cheap.
And you wonder, because it's 10,000 units, it should be a giant gel instead of this tiny little thing. And that's, as you say, that's because it's really only a small number of micrograms. So that's why they changed the way that they talk about it.
Right. The good thing about it also is that so little is used, it's very inexpensive. So you can buy large amounts for it. You can, if you're taking 10,000 units a day, you can probably spend $20-$25 a year. That's all. Right. on your vitamin D.
Now, I want to ask you about getting too much sun exposure on our skin, let's say using tanning beds. And people have been warned now. Tanning beds are so dangerous, they can kill people.
Well, they're also better tanning beds than others, depending on how much UVB light there is from them. So you want to look at that. But it was estimated, and I forget who did the estimate, that our entire population used tanning beds as their source of vitamin D. 11,000 people would die from that.
That's terrible. 11,000 people dying from using tanning beds if everyone used them.
It means
that you shouldn't use them.
Well, it's a very high number, 11,000.
Yeah.
However, they also found that this population would gain from it, and they would avoid 400,000 deaths.
Okay, so we're sacrificing 11,000 deaths to save 400,000. I think I'll get a tanning bed.
Right.
Okay, Alan Roth, this is so much fun talking about vitamin D. I'm glad I take it. I'm glad you take it. And we have to keep taking it.
To say, people who go outdoors and get sun on their skin should not get sunburned.
Okay, that's good. To avoid sunburn, just get plenty of sun and build up so that later in the summer, perhaps, we're tan enough not to get burned and have a lot more exposure.
That's right. That extra melanin in your skin is protecting you.
Yeah, great. Alan Roth, thank you. This has been wonderful, and I appreciate you being on Energy Stew.
Well, I'm so glad I could do it, and I hope a lot of people now will understand they should go out and get some more vitamin D.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you.